1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
11, 12.
I feel that should be the beginning of the show now.
It will be.
Were there any rights issues with that?
No, it's...
It's just counting.
And well, actually, it that'd be considered fair use.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Dance Monkey Dance. Is that what I normally say? I don't
no
know.
No idea. Yes. I have to write all of
so,
them down.
So anyway, this is Chris.
Brandon.
Kristen.
And Brandon and Kristen are back. Mm-hmm. Brooke is not here this week. Brooke was here for the past 2 weeks when Slacker Brandon was off on a cruise.
Being relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did get a couple emails that said they liked the fact that the show was different as far as like the shakeup of me talking to two women.
Cool. Nice.
They liked where the conversations went. I guess on Dance Monkey Dance, we talk about pretty much like nerdy shit.
Yeah.
But like we actually talked about like...
It got real.
Yeah, it got real. We talked about like waxing and...
Okay, well, hold on. Our discussion on religion was not necessarily nerdy.
No, but people have heard that on the show before.
Oh.
John and I have never discussed why women shave their vaginas or...
You can say vagina.
Yeah, I know.
There were many words for it last
or the words that women like and the words that women don't like. Oh, we discussed all that.
Yeah.
So, but people like that. People seem to say they like a different part of the show. So,
So nothing...
I'm sure it's going to be real nerdy this week.
So wait. But, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So... I asked you if anybody had written the show, and you're like, I want to discuss a couple of emails on the show.
Yeah.
And they had nothing to do with me at all.
No. But they have everything to do with Kristen, well, so why would I not?
Awesome. That's beside the point. I'm not saying that Kristen and Brooke are awesome. I'm not trying to take away from
them. Would you like to tell me about your nether regions?
Yeah, they're fine.
Have you ever shaved?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the way?
All the way?
Yeah,
bare?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get bored some days.
Tag that on to last week.
Can you do that? So nothing. Nobody cares about you or me. Email.
That is not true.
Well, I mean, it was about how they liked me talking to two women.
Okay.
So I'm in there.
Brandon, up your voice.
Okay. So it's... Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, Sniffles McGee.
Grab your nutsack and pull it real hard so that your voice goes up a couple octaves.
Oh, he doesn't even have to do that.
Oh.
Yeah, talking your
well,
big girl voice.
I appreciate talking to you guys. John, apparently you're not missed.
Well, no, I mean...
John's always missed. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's... Okay, so it's just me at this point who's not missed.
You were missed two weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
Single tear.
Wow.
We're going to bottle those up and sell those.
Wow.
So let's talk about Wonder Woman.
So, okay, wait. So before we get to Wonder Woman, I guess somebody needs to write in and say how much they love you on the podcast.
I don't care.
Okay.
I just need feedback.
You just want to be named.
I just need to be needed.
I want you to want me. Yeah, is that kind of where we are?
Yeah.
Okay, so
one
of the emails talked about having different people on the show and how they like that. So
okay, that's
okay.
You're a different person.
You can be encompassed in
I'll take that.
They didn't name you by name.
No,
they didn't say, we like that Brandon guy.
That Brandon guy.
Different people. You're a different person.
That is true. I wonder, did you listen to the podcast?
We're going to listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Which podcast?
The one that she was on. I have not yet listened to the Brooke and Kristen episode. I haven't listened to
the Brooke and Kristen episode.
The episode before last.
There were two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. The Brooke and Kristen episodes.
There needs to be a z on the end.
We get more mics in here. We can bring a litany of people.
You can bring.
You have more mics.
We do. We have. I think we can mic up to 8 people.
Well, I
we
only got room
for
6.
Boards,
so.
I have another soundboard.
Bring another soundboard.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
We can get like this whole long table in here going.
I guess we need the audience that is listening to tell us how many people they want and of what gender.
Look, I'm sure that they'll take anything. You can fulfill your needs.
Take anything? Oh, wow. I'll take anything at this point.
No, no, no. We will fulfill whatever needs you have.
Yes.
So if they want to write in the like, Dear Dance Monkey Dance, yes. I've always had this fantasy where I'm having to like
this many women and this many guys in a maybe, room.
Easily. At this point, you could be replaced, apparently.
Well, yeah. I mean, I always said that I was not the draw of the show.
It's John.
John is the draw of okay. when it's me and him.
Okay, but it's Kristen and Brooke.
But they liked Kristen and Brooke on the show okay. because it was a different it's a side different of Dance Monkey Dance.
It is a different. That is true.
Yeah, it is a different.
Matter of fact, it started me on a rewatch of Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I went down this rabbit hole. I watched clips after we talked about the word twunt.
Right.
And I started watching these clips on YouTube and was like, wow, this is a really well-written show. Nice. I need to go back and start rewatching this.
Definitely going to check it out now.
How many seasons have you finished?
Well, there's 7 seasons and I'm like halfway through the first one. Oh. Because there's other, like, I'm trying to get through like House of Cards and...
Yeah.
House of Cards season 5.
Yes, the new one.
I have not yet started that.
Okay.
I finished Flake season 2 and Love season 2.
I haven't watched either one of those.
I would highly recommend Love.
Yeah.
Flaked is, if you're in that
not
zone.
Not a big Judd Apatow fan, though.
Well, it's Judd Apatow-esque. It's just something, I think, like, there's the Judd Apatow things. There's Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
Which is not really Judd Apatow. It's more Paul Feig.
Right.
But Judd Apatow had the ability to have that made at that point in time.
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about Love.
Okay.
His Love has the Apatow-esque-ness to it.
Who do you think the new Apatow is?
I think Judd Apatow is still the Judd Apatow.
Nah, he's kind of faded.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, whenever he makes anything, it's huge.
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, This Is 40 was not a huge hit.
No, that's true. I think it's part of
whiny.
It's part of the zeitgeist, though. It's like Trainwreck.
I like Trainwreck though.
Apatow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Trainwreck. And that was one of the only films that I liked with her in it.
I think he directed that, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure. I think you've got a phone.
No, it's on there.
I'm not allowed. As we discovered weeks ago.
It was just
But yeah, Love is very much Paul Rust's
okay.
No, but baby. Like, Amy Schumer, she gets on my nerves. But in that movie, like, I don't know if it was just, like, stars aligning with her. And
yeah, that was the only thing that I liked.
And John Cena? Isn't John Cena in that?
No.
No, that's Sisters, I think, is the one you're thinking about.
No, I thought he was in Trainwreck.
No,
the wrestler?
Yeah. No, we know who John Cena is.
No, no, no. It's, gosh, SNL. He plays Stefan. What's his name? I just lost his name.
Who? Oh, Stefan?
Stefan.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Hader?
Bill Hader,
yeah. Bill Hader. Bill Hader's in Trainwreck.
And Kobe Bryant?
He's the love interest.
Kobe Bryant in that movie?
Yeah.
Or was it another basketball player?
Oh. I think it's Kobe Bryant. But no, it's just them.
You racist?
No.
No?
Saying that basketball players are tall and confuse me at this day and age. If you're not Michael Jordan, I don't know who you are.
And sadly, a lot of people don't now.
Know who Michael Jordan is?
John Cena is in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
What does he play?
Steven?
Oh, Steven.
And also...
Why did I forget him in this?
Also, apparently, is my wife's friend, Josh Segarra, who was in Arrow. Apparently, okay. He's in there, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it had a good cast. Kobe Bryant? It had a good flow.
I wasn't looking for that.
He was looking up his, not yours.
Brie Larson, Colin Quinn, bunch of kids, Josh Segarra, Ryan Farrell, Robert Torres.
Because, like, we watched Snatch. I know you haven't seen it yet, but we watched it. And it had Goldie Hawn in it. And you'd think that, you know, she would be enough. But, like, Amy Schumer, they should have just replaced her and, like, did the movie without her.
Oh, was that the one where it's, like, she plays Goldie Hawn's daughter?
Yeah.
And they go on vacation. Joan Cusack was amazing. Like, with her facial features, she was hilarious.
Okay.
Joan Cusack is one of the funniest women alive.
She is amazing.
The answer to your NBA question, you racist, is LeBron James.
LeBron James. I'm a basketball racist. I'm not like a full-time racist with everybody, just basketball
with players. Everybody. Okay.
They all look like Larry Bird.
Tim Meadows is also in it. Did you recognize him?
Yeah, of course I did. I like Mean Girls as much as the next guy.
Wow.
Anyway, this went into a dark place. So Wonder Woman.
Dark place.
Another dark place.
Okay, yes. There are three things I want to talk about. Okay. I want to talk about Wonder Woman. Uh-huh. I want to talk about Kesha. Kesha.
Hot and dangerous.
Okay.
Animaniacs.
Whatever order you want to do those things in.
Well, I mean, Animaniacs is always first on Chris's brain. So.
Yes, you see the big thing behind me?
I don't know if he has a picture. If I were to have a picture.
Is it like a secret this is a general Kesha room. Vibe?
He can I thought you were talking about like the cereal stuff.
No, like key dollar sign. Ha.
It's Kashi.
Kashi. Okay.
Wait, the cereal? Wait, yeah. Like literally the cereal, like that's you what he eat.
We're talking about
like cereal killers.
I thought maybe like maybe when you were on your cruise, you had this epiphany of like this is the best food ever.
I know.
Is that what you ate in Puerto Rico all
is,
the time?
Is Kesha a singer?
Kesha
yes.
Is well,
key dollar sign.
Yeah. She's what?
She's some would argue, but yeah.
Okay. Aww,
she is. She's more talented. Okay, than a lot of them.
What do you think will take the least amount of time in the conversation?
Probably Kesha.
Okay, let's start with Kesha.
I don't know what you want to talk about.
Well, she's got a new album coming out.
I'm excited about it.
I was like, it's been a year since Kesha had an album out. She had like two really great, like Cannibal and Animal, like back to back.
It's really funny. They were really good. Her names. She kept me awake the other night on the way home from the Paul Simon concert.
Yeah, Paul Simon is definitely a more superior artist.
She like tapping you on the back of the head. Yeah, saying, she was like screaming
in my face, and I was singing along with her.
I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Because we went to Paul Simon. I think that probably should take up some time, too.
I'm just saying the three things.
Yeah.
I at least know who Paul Simon is.
Yeah, there we go.
You don't listen to Paul Simon?
We also saw Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Wait,
is Paul Simon the one that sings You Can Call Me Al?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's off Graceland, 1986 yes. album.
Then that's the one real song that I know.
You know what he didn't sing? Is The Lion King. You know Paul Simon songs.
So that is true. He told a story on stage where basically he tries to listen to the audience and have a conversation with him the entire time. And someone yells from the says something from the audience.
She's play weeping.
And he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Play the
Lion. She's just screaming.
And then he goes, what are you saying? What do you want me to play? And she goes, play the Lion King.
And she's like, which tears streaming down her face.
Yes.
And he's like, okay.
I don't have a song called The Lion King.
Moving
Paul
on.
Simon's done one musical, and it's called The Cape Man, about gang violence in Puerto Rico, ironically, Puerto Ricans in New York during like the 50s.
Are you sure that wasn't?
And it's about a guy who's charged of murder.
West Side Story.
No, it's definitely a musical.
When you're Paul a jet, Simon, right?
you're a jet all the way.
when you're a jet, damn. You're in a different musical.
Guys. Oh, okay.
This is actually a real thing that happened.
Legit,
some real person. Yeah,
that's cool.
Called the gang was called the Vampires. Well, how do we get off on this?
Don't
you anyway.
So
at this point, Kristen's just placating your ego. She's like, yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Back from back to Paul Simon.
Just like you emailed.
And back to Kesha. Actually, I was the one that emailed that I was like, our show was so cool. I really like those new girls. that Brandon guy.
Anyway, so we saw Paul Simon. Paul Simon wrote You Can Call Me Al, yes.
Okay.
Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, Graceland, Mother and Child Reunion.
Still crazy.
Still crazy after all these years.
That one I might know.
You probably know most of the song. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard.
Oh, that one I know only because I had to learn that when I was learning how to play guitar.
Huh.
Okay. It was considered one of the hardest things when you're starting out, like when you're learning how to change chords.
Yeah, and it's a quick change.
Yeah.
It also opened the movie Made in Manhattan.
As well as in the Muppets, the new Muppets movie, not the first of the new series of Muppets movies.
The one with Jason Segel?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We're on the road. They use that song. It's a road song.
Yeah, it's a good road song.
What else is he saying?
A lot of songs. Educate. Well, I was trying to say that, we saw Ladysmith Black Mambazo also back in March.
For Graceland, he basically traveled to South Africa for a great part of the album.
Okay.
And then paid the band, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, had a lot of issues with the album because they're like, okay, we feel like you're using these African artists, not African American artists.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Straight up African.
These are African artists. and he's like, I'm paying them a lot. And they don't have to do this.
Yeah, they wanted to do it.
So they wanted to
it's
do
an
it.
An amazing album.
I love their group. So we saw the band, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, or the vocal group, I guess it were.
Charleston Music Hall.
Yeah. a few months ago, and now we're sailing Paul's
island. And one of the gentlemen that was with him when he recorded that album actually still plays with him. He was the guitarist during the show.
The bass player on and then You Can Call Me Al, that weird, awesome bass line, he was actually there, and he played that live.
Okay.
And it sounded just like on the album.
Because it was him.
Or were they lip syncing?
No.
Oh, no, they definitely were not. I've got lots of video on it.
Who was I watching the other day where I was like, Iggy Azalea.
Of course.
On the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show.
Okay.
She was...
Lip singing?
It looked like it. And then it upset me because I'm like, dude, you're a rap artist.
You're not
artist.
Britney Spears. Come on. All right. So back to Kesha, who I actually think is talented.
I do too.
Okay. As long as we're on the same page.
Well, I mean, there are differences in talent. Like, I think Sia is a great songwriter.
She's great.
Jessie J, a great pop songwriter, but also a great vocalist. Mm-hmm. Kesha writes a hefty tune, but not necessarily is the best vocalist in the world. That's all I'm saying.
No, well, she's grungy.
Yeah,
like she grinds a lot, and not like in the dance way.
She's got a new album coming out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited.
You probably heard some stuff.
TikTok. Probably heard
on the radio.
I don't listen to the radio.
Yeah, she doesn't listen.
I don't really listen to music anymore.
Music at all?
Yeah. Huh. If I listen to music, it's usually stuff that I listened to as a kid. So lots of Anthrax, lots of like old school Metallica, Dream Theater, those kinds of bands. But
at what point do you think that happened? Because I was wondering that the other day too. Like, there's a time in your life where you're constantly like going, "Oh, here's a recommendation," and you take it and you like listen to it,
right?
And when Kristen, Brooke, and I are listening to music, I'm, you know, kind of forcing it on them somewhat to be like, listen to this. And I'm trying to get it as pure as I possibly can. Because when we're watching King Kong from 1933 years and years ago, I'm like, watch this movie, but think of it as a person that is in 1933 watching this for the first time. And musically, I try to do that same thing, try to listen to it in a vacuum so that you can appreciate it
like
or not appreciate
it. Like sit down and listen
it.
To it, you mean?
Okay.
And I was wondering, what point do you have to do that now? Rather than just go, oh, here's a band, and you just kind of go, oh, that's one of my favorite bands. At what point do you stop having new favorite bands?
I don't know. Like, for me, it became discovering podcasts and wanting to listen to conversations instead of listening to music.
Huh.
Okay.
And listening to ideas and letting that be what I think about.
Okay.
And not so much, like, listening to music.
Do you listen to that, like, in the background, like, while you're doing other stuff? Kind of like how people listen to background music. Do you
listen
to background podcasts?
Yeah. So I'll listen to podcasts on the way to work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On the way home. I listen to podcasts when I'm mowing a lawn or doing chores or whatever. Okay. It's just something that I keep listening to.
Yeah.
And there are, it used to be, so when I really got into podcasting, I was living in Arkansas. I had lost my job. So the only job that I could get at the time was in a furniture factory. And I worked 2 to 11 by myself, and they were like, you can listen to like headphones if you want, just don't get sucked up into the machine. So
that's a plus.
I was filling 40 hours a week with podcasts. Jeez. And I was listening to I was trying to find people who did really long podcasts, so like I listened to a lot of Joe Rogan, I listened to a lot of Kevin Smith at the time because he was doing like 2+ hour podcast. Yeah. And it was literally like, I can listen, like I would go to, before I went to work, I would download like the daily thing and I would put them in order and see how long they were and time them out and be like, this is going to get me to lunch, this is going to get me to the break, this is going to get me to whatever.
It's intense.
So when I moved here and I was like, well, now I only have an hour to commute and listen to stuff, I dropped a whole bunch of it. And so now I only listen to things like, I listen to the, Pendulette podcast, and I listen to, a network called The Incomparable, and they talk about like real nerdy shit. Mm-hmm. I still listen to the Nerdist podcast depending
who's on it. Yeah.
I used to listen to whatever they put out because I was trying to fill 40 hours a week with it. So
now you're selective.
Now I'm really selective about what I listen to. So,
I think you'd like Spontanea Nation.
No, maybe.
It is pretty
entertaining. Give it a shot. It's basically, Paul F. Tompkins.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he brings on three improvisational artists.
Okay.
And another interviewer. So he does like 10 to 20 minutes worth of interview.
Right.
And then normally 45 to an hour and 15 of improv with those three people.
Okay.
Based on the interview.
Okay.
It's funny.
Simply the best.
I do a lot of like, if I hear somebody on one podcast, like if the Nerdist has somebody on,
mm-hmm.
I will then see what other podcasts that person was on.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to that if I'm like really interested, like when they had Billy West on,
mm-hmm.
like he told such amazing he's stories amazing. Where I was like, I need to listen to anything that he's on.
He's amazing.
And while I've listened to the podcast he does on his own, it's more skits.
Okay.
And I'm more interested in like the history of the person and what
his story. Yeah.
And I think that's what appeals to me about podcasts a lot is it's just a conversation between a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And you get to know somebody.
Yeah.
And it's long form and you like when you watch these people on the Tonight Show or whatever, there's a pre-interview and they they say, what do you want to talk about?
That's kind of what I dug about Craig Ferguson is Craig Ferguson would rarely go by pre-interview.
But like the first time that Charlie Hunnam was on the Nerdist podcast, he told two stories about somebody trying to break into his house. And Chris Hardwick was like, those are amazing stories. When you go to these shows, those are the stories you should be telling. And he was on Conan about a month later and told those stories. And I was like, this is very cool that I kind of heard
that I heard him here.
Yeah. And then like he took that advice and like put it into practice.
Nice.
But if it's filmmakers, if it's actors, if it's scientists, whatever it is, those are the things that really kind of interest me now. And like if I want to listen to music, I think I've reached the age where I'm just not going to find.
You kind of know like, what you like to listen to.
Yeah, new bands and listen, like go back through the catalog and listen to everything. I'm just not that person.
I'm trying to figure out what the last band that I really like fell in love with was.
Like band and not just person?
Because
Ingrid Michaelson,
that was the last person.
I think a lot of it, too, for me, has to do with the fact that I wouldn't buy a whole album just to like a song.
Yeah, well, I think that's why iTunes came out.
iTunes has changed the way people listen to music.
That's true.
And now I wouldn't go and buy an entire album. If I like a song from somebody, I'm just going to buy that one song.
Or just YouTube it.
And I think
Yeah.
I think that's why I like how I refuse to, unless it's like a radio song or something like that, where like if I like an artist, like Lyle Lovett, for example.
Yeah, I love
that. I'm not going to not listen to his entire album. But again, he's not going to have singles either, so.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I'm at one point I would download all of the iTunes. I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do like a free song a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a different genre.
Yeah.
And I would download those and I would listen to those.
Same.
And there was a couple of bands that I kind of liked from the one song. And then I went to go listen to albums and I was like, this is the only good song that they've ever done.
Yeah.
So I just won't. I mean, we were in the movie theater when we circle back around the Wonder Woman and they were playing, I guess the band Seether has a new album coming out. And I literally turned to Scott, the guy that I work with. And I said, I could have sworn that this song was from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It sounds exactly the same as what they had been doing.
Yeah.
And I was like,
if you can't bring anything new to the table, then
I mean, either you have to love that band and love the sound that they make or hope that they do something different.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just too old to really start seeking that shit out. I would rather just
listen to other
focus on people and ideas and shit like that. Cause that's what gets my mind going. Like if I'm just sitting there at work and doing something repetitive, like rotoscoping or something, I just start thinking about things I've listened to and been like, I wonder how I would deal with that or, you know, something like
It's a very introspective kind of thing.
I think I've learned a shit ton about myself through that because normally I wouldn't. If I was just listening to music on the way to work, I wouldn't be thinking about that kind of stuff.
And I think it's how you perceive music as well. Even that may be each base as well, but it's just like taking it all in. Like you're a musician, so I break down all the harmonies and everything else.
Right.
So I'm like, why did they choose to do this? You know, why did they choose a minor ninth and a major third? You know,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. So that's also what I'm listening for, music. And the music now, unless it's by an artist who's been around for 30, 40 years, like Ben Folds is the only person I've heard in the last decade talk intelligently about music.
Right.
John Legend, at times. Yeah. I've heard him.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and don't get me wrong.
But like, he experiences music more than Ben does.
Well,
Ben,
he does.
Ben thinks about it.
Yeah.
Logistically, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I can appreciate good music. Like,
yeah.
But I don't think I'm ever going to be the guy to go out and buy another album of, like, just because, like, my father, growing up, my father listened to Chuck Mangione. Like, mm-hmm. that was his thing. Like, that stupid trumpet song that he's famous for, like, I heard it so many times as a kid. My mom was into Barry Manilow, and that's what they listened to.
Barry Manilow, I just watched him last night, and he still looks and sounds
good. Well, I'm sure he does.
He writes the songs.
That the whole world sings.
He writes the songs.
At the Copa Cabana.
With Mandy.
Yes.
We saw him in New York in the snow.
Not, we didn't see him in concert. We literally were walking across the street from him.
Yeah.
And did you yell to him?
No.
There were plenty of people. We were not going to be like, hey, Barry.
If you see Barry Manilow and he's right next to you, be like, hey, Barry, and then walk away.
Right. So when, I don't remember when it was, but like, I went home and my dad was listening to Adele when Hello came out, and like that whole big thing came, and I was like, what is this? And he was like, oh, I kind of like this. And I was like, I'm never going to be the guy at 66 or whatever he is where I was like, I'm going to buy this album because everybody's talking about it. Huh. Like, no, yeah, it's not going to be me.
That's interesting. Your mom, Brandon's mom, hates Adele.
Oh, my mom really has a thing out for Adele. She
hates Adele.
I don't know what the hell it is.
Okay.
She's just like, she's talented, but she's boring to me.
Yeah, like, she's like, okay. I find her boring.
Oh.
I think it's because at her work, they listen to radio play constantly.
Oh.
And Adele, when she comes out with a new album,
they repetitively play her. Yeah.
Like anything that you listen to on the radio, that's going to be a literal top 40 hit. That's why I listen to radio, but I listen to radio when I want to listen to radio. Okay. So I'll listen to Adele's album, but I'll listen to Adele's album in my own time.
Like, and so like things like the Super Bowl, like I watch Lady Gaga. I think she's a good performer. Mm. Yeah. Not going to buy her album though. Like,
yeah,
it's just not my type of music. Even if I'm going to listen to music.
If you buy her album, she will come and actually jump off your roof.
No, she'll just poke your face.
Mm. Boom, boom.
That's a song.
That's one I actually got, though.
That's a fist bump.
Yay. You know, Katy Perry's having a new album, or has a new album.
Katy Perry is. Her new album comes out this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, speaking of this week, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
That would be when? Tomorrow?
Well, when this drops.
When this drops.
When this drops.
This will be dropping on my birthday.
Thanks, it'll be
Snoop Dogg Chris.
Happy birthday. Yep. When the beat drops.
When the beat drops.
When this drops.
It'll be happy birthday.
Turning 43.
But you're still alive and kicking.
Yep. Yep. Getting older, but whatever.
What you kicking?
The can.
Ugh. Not yet. You're kicking it down the road.
No. Kicking the can is one thing. Kicking the bucket is a different thing.
Well, don't kick things.
One foot on a banana peel, one foot in the grave.
So what are you doing for your birthday? What are your big birthday plans?
I'm going to the eye doctor, and then I'm taking my kid to the dentist.
Ooh, doctor's appointment.
Don't confuse the two. No.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the kid's got to get her eyes checked. Yes.
You have to get contacts for her teeth.
Yes.
Oh, that would be awkward.
So that's what I'm doing.
Gotcha.
They have specials on Wednesdays at Outback.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's a steak and like
a side.
I plan on going to the Philly cheesesteak place for lunch.
Isn't it? It's supposed to be really good up here.
It is.
And it's Philly cheesesteak. Nice. If you could give Chris free lunch.
No. They don't listen.
For his birthday?
You don't
They might
that.
Have
you
a birthday
listen.
Club.
No.
Mm.
If you'll reach out to Dan.
Is it Charlie's
Dance
or?
Podcast.
No. What is it? It's, is it just Philly cheesesteak? The name of the place?
It's Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak. That's the name. Okay.
Yep.
So Kesha has an album coming out. That's all I want to say about that. I'm interested.
Oh, wow. That is...
Okay.
I'm curious to know what it is.
Period.
Wonder Woman
end
and
of story.
Okay. Talk about Animaniacs.
So, Brooke, I love her to death.
Uh-huh.
But she will send out these stories. Like...
Yes. I got a text from her.
Yes.
that specifically. We've had conversations. You know, we agree and disagree politically a good bit. And I'm not going to go into any specifics about what either of us believe because nobody gives a shit. She would send out stories to me and she'd be like this. And I'm like, okay, did you read that story? It like has no bearing on reality whatsoever. And so she, and so I would tell, I'm like, just do your research so that you can talk intelligently, read the New York Times, listen to Rush Limbaugh, do whatever the heck you have to do to balance yourself out. I don't, you know, to balance yourself out.
I see where this is going.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm just like, know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's
I sent you a story. I didn't read it though. Enjoy.
and then she sends that story to you. And she's like, I didn't read it. Oops. Like, that's the best story I
got. And we're both talking because Brandon and I were together at that point, and we're talking. We're like, I wonder if she read this.
And then right
and
after that,
then
oops.
That message comes through. So
basically, they're having discussions about having discussions about having discussions. Yes. Possibly bringing back Animaniacs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which you can.
I think if they can keep the same
tone,
the same writing, I think it could be phenomenal to see what they could do with it now. Yeah. I don't think they should do it 3D. I think they should.
Is that what they were talking about?
Well, no, but I can kind of see them going that way.
Some people have 3D TVs, well, but not everybody.
But no, but like, you know, that look of 3D.
Oh, like the animation versus flat. Okay, I gotcha.
Well, I think that's, you have, of any genre, of any thing, there are kids' shows or kid-ish shows, like Animaniacs, even though it's built for everybody, that have two-dimensional characters. Like, Pokemon is not 3D. As many times as it possibly could have gone in that direction.
Right.
You're not getting the reboot version of Pokemon. And if you know who Reboot is, I know you probably
know
who Reboot is. But that's about it, you and me. Pirates of Dark Water, more than Reboot. but I think there's enough animation, two dimensional animation out there that you really can.
Well, I think it falls into the same thing as like the old Warner Brothers cartoons. Yeah. I don't think you can bring it into modern times.
Tiny Toons did it.
Yeah, but Tiny Toons still had the same kind of animation.
Talking about like changing the animation style.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, because things like even Space Jam. Space Jam was like 2D in a 3D world.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do Let's Build Bugs Bunny in 3D.
It was more Shade Cell.
Yeah. They made them look three-dimensional, but not in a computer. And I think they can do that for Animaniacs. I would love to see those three people get back together and do more.
Especially since they're all three alive.
Yes.
Well, they're all three together lot, too.
Yeah.
And they're always together.
Yeah.
Tress McNeil,
Jess Harnell, and Rob Paulsen.
Rob Paulsen, sorry.
And Maurice LaMarche.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's Maurice LaMarche? Oh,
and
Pinky.
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 And a bunch of other... Brain. And a bunch of other characters. Yeah. But he was like the unsung fourth member of that. Like, they would just constantly bring him in for shit.
I love him in The Critic.
Yeah. So I think you bring them back. They do a show, like they do a live show where the three of them get together in California and they talk about the Animaniacs and they do skits and talk in the voices. And
I don't know if it's sad that people revisit. Like, I think you and I have fond memories of it, and Chris and I, we and I have had a lot of conversations, maybe.
Of Animaniacs? I used to watch it after school.
Okay, so we all like have fond memories of it, but we're not like living in that time period. Who wants to be 20 years after this show's gone off the air still being like...
Yeah,
I'll
but
tell
it's
you,
still
though,
relevant, because, I mean, like, doesn't...
My kid still watches it.
Okay.
My kid watches it, and I will sit there and watch it with her, and there are some things that fall flat.
Well, Brandon loves hippos.
Well, that didn't make me scared of hippos. I have a fear of hippos.
Okay. There's a couple of the other, like, little, like, interstitial things that they would do
that
doesn't really work anymore. But Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, Pinky and the Brain.
As characters.
Even Good Feathers.
The Good Feathers. Oh, and the dog and the...
Yeah, Buttons and Mindy.
Yeah.
Those things still work. And those things are still funny. And they're making my kid laugh now. And it's like, okay, this still has legs. And I know that they didn't redo it, but they retransferred them to put them on disc. And what it was either Boomerang or Cartoon Network or one of those. And they look really good. But I think that if the three people want to do it again, and they do, because obviously they're still out
there
doing it.
They're still out there. They're enjoying each other's company.
Fox... or Warner Brothers or whoever could do it, they could find a home for it. Fucking they could do it on Netflix. They could do 10 episodes but on Netflix.
You still have Spielberg behind it, so he's a juggernaut that can just get shit on the air still.
Yeah. So I think I'd love to see it because I think the things that are going on now and the internet and all that kind of stuff could make for some really, really funny stuff with those three characters.
I just hope that they can kind of... I feel like nobody was paying attention to it to begin with, even though it was a clear spinoff. It was just kind of another thing in between Tiny Toons and Freakazoid that kind of came out that was lightning in a bottle at the time. Nobody was really paying attention to it. And then after the first season played, people kind of revisited it into the second season.
Right.
See, and I kind of watched the Tiny Toons, but Animaniacs was...
I was completely the opposite. I didn't watch Tiny Toons. And one day, for some reason, I mean, I was in high school when it came out. Like, I was way too... I was not the demographic for whatever it was.
You can still watch that
but
show.
There was... Yeah. There's an episode where where Wacko is in a movie theater and he's got to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to run throughout the city. I nearly wet myself watching that laughing so hard. And I was like, I got to start watching this all the time.
Yeah.
The Anvil song was my free bird far as that goes.
Your free bird.
Or the earthquake song.
Oh, okay.
Where they talk about Mr. Richter's kicking our asphalt. Like, there's brilliant lyrics that, like, when you're that age, just go over your head. And
I have to admit that I do have the soundtrack.
Oh, I had the cassettes for a long time. I don't know whatever happened to them.
I know
but
that
like,
there's United States, there's Canada, there's Mexico, there's Panama,
Haiti, Jamaica, Peru. And Peru. So, when there used to be Warner Brothers stores.
I love it. The jackets, the leather jackets with the the Warner Brothers store.
Jess Harnell and Rob Paulson did a Warner Brothers store tour back in, it had to be early 90s because it was before I went to college. My girlfriend and I at the time went to meet them. And the people in front of us left and we walk up and we shake their hands and we say hi. And they ask me my name. I'm like, hi, I'm Chris. And they said, what's your name? And her name was Katie. And
Katie.
Well, there was Katie Kaboom was one of the things. So they start singing the Katie Kaboom song and they're signing the shirts and stuff. And actually the shirt that's over there, it was the one that they signed. And they said, who do we make this out to? And I said, I don't want you to make it out to anybody. And they said, oh, you're going to sell it? And I said, no, I'm going to keep this thing forever. I just don't want my name fucking it up.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we understand that. And so they said, do you have any questions? And I said, I only have one. I said, how long did it take you to get through the Nations of the World? And he said, once. He said, they gave me the list. I read it over. I said, let's do it.
Wow.
And he goes, I did it like this. And he sang the whole song in front of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy fuck. But this was like, you know, before podcasts and before like any of these people, you even knew who these people looked like.
Yeah.
Like Jess Harnell still looks the same as he did in the 80s with the long black hair. And like he walked in and we were like, who the hell is that guy? Like, why is he sitting behind the table? That can't be one of the guys. So it was a really interesting, like, to see them and meet them and, like, then have this dude sing that song. And it was like, holy shit.
That's so amazing. I mean,
it's one of those things I'm never going to forget. And then 20 years later, I met Tress McNeil and told her the story. And the guys came over. That, of course, you know, they don't remember because they met so many fucking people. But they were like, this is so cool. Like,
you have all three of them on there.
Yeah.
You just got to get Maurice LaMarche.
Yeah, but... I think I'm
and
okay.
Bernadette Peters.
And Bernadette Peters?
Yeah, she was the cat.
Oh, she was
Buttons or
no
Taco?
Yeah, Taco.
I don't know anybody's. I can't remember names very well.
Taco. Are we watching the League?
So anyway,
sorry.
So yes, I used to have all those cassettes, and I was way too old for the demographic, but going to meet them made me feel a little bit better because there were people in their 40s that had like temporary tattoos of Yakko on their face and stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm a nerd, but I'm not that big of a nerd. So
that's amazing.
So are you excited about the prospect of there being a new one?
I am, only for like my kid, like, because a lot of the stuff that's in those she doesn't understand because they're a product of their time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever they're around the studio and they have quote unquote cameos from people, it's people from late 80s, early 90s where she's like, I don't understand that reference.
We still have that, like in watching the old Warner Brothers Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
We still have, now his name's going to fly out of my head, from Casablanca.
Right, and they did that in the Animaniacs too.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that stuff, but like there's a lot of the cameos that I look at and I'm like, who's that supposed to be? Like, it's just a product of the time.
Yeah.
And you know, I get Michael Keaton as Batman, I get a couple of the other things, but like there are people that show up and Lisa's like, who's that? I was like, I have no idea who that's supposed to be.
Well, it'd be cool to make it relevant. Well, yeah. Not that it's not relevant now, but the characters, but have the cameos and update it. And, yeah.
Speaking of your child, you took her to see Wonder Woman.
I did. I've actually seen it twice.
Really?
Twice, yeah. Okay.
So Scott and I went on Thursday night to opening at the theater by you guys.
Cinema Mall.
Yeah. We didn't do IMAX.
Oh, no,
but
you didn't.
That was the theater we went to. And then the next Saturday, we went to Northwoods here. But I've seen it twice.
Okay.
I think that...
Did your wife really not like it?
No, she did. She liked
it.
Okay. Wonder Woman's always been her favorite character.
Okay.
So seeing her on screen in a fairly competent manner, you know, she absolutely loved.
The costumes fairly were fans.
Hold on.
What?
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, Kristen.
Fairly competent is what
competent.
He said.
Fairly
competent. I don't think it's a perfect movie.
Okay.
I would like...
I'm just happy that I'm not alone in that.
It's way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. That
It's a much better film than I think a lot of people were expecting.
Wasn't hard.
No, but I think a lot of people were thinking that it was going to fall on its face and that it was just going to be added to that pantheon of like bad DC
movies. Bad DCs.
See, I never felt like it was going to fall on its face. I just didn't have any expectation for it. Like, I went into Batman versus Superman, or I went into Man of Steel going, okay, cool. And then I went into Batman versus Superman going, okay, well, I've seen this, so this obviously is, at least if it's that good, and then it was worse. And every DC movie seems to, like, defy my expectations.
And then you had
in
Suicide
a worse
Squad.
Way,
okay.
Except for Wonder Woman, which hit right where I was hoping it would.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say that my favorite of the DC universe, the connected universe, whatever the fuck they're calling it, is Man of Steel.
Oh.
I really enjoyed Man of Steel.
Okay.
It's, to me, it's very rewatchable. Mm-hmm. I can sit there and I can pick it up at any time and be like, okay, I enjoy what I'm seeing.
He's charming as...
I like Henry Cavill.
And I like the way that they tell the flashbacks, and I like the way that, like, mm-hmm. it's structured to where you're getting the backstory, but they're telling it in a different way. Like,
other than the tornado truck.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
It still has its problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect Superman movie, but I think it's a really good film from DC.
I agree.
My problems with Wonder Woman strictly stems from the third act.
Yeah.
And spoilers, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil a whole bunch of shit. I went in reading a review that basically said... It was a non-spoiler review that said... You're going to think it's going to end in a really logical place. And it's not.
And then it keeps going.
And then it's going to keep going. And you're going to be like, what is this CGI fuckfest that they're
like, what just happened?
Putting me into?
Yeah.
And I kind of feel it's DC sticking their face into this woman who had never directed a big budget anything and said,
directed one movie before this.
Yeah. You need to have a big set piece at the end. So we're going to throw Ares in there. Mm. And it's going to be somebody who you gave absolutely no indication that this was somebody that we needed to even
care about
or be on the radar.
Right.
He's got maybe 2 minutes of movie time before that.
It's about five to six.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not much.
And then all of a sudden he's the big bad guy.
Yeah.
And
it was supposed to be a misdirect. But when you cast David Thewlis, it's like casting Ian Holm in that Johnny Depp Jack the Ripper movie from Hell.
Right.
As soon as you see him, you go, that's Jack the Ripper.
Right.
So as soon as I saw David Thewlis, I was like, that's the bad guy.
So yeah, I mean, it was really weird the way it was structured. Other than that, I think it's a brilliant film. I think it's shot well. I think it's absolutely gorgeous.
The costumes were amazing. The costumes did a really great job.
Gal Gadot was great. I love the fact that everybody bitched about, like, you can't have an Israeli as Wonder Woman because she doesn't sound like anything that you ever heard before as Wonder Woman, blah, blah, blah. So DC turned around and went, you know what? Everybody on that island is going to sound exactly like her.
That's what made me so mad about it. Though I was like, why does everybody have an Israeli accent?
I was like, because they at least match.
But it was brilliant. It was them going, shut the fuck up. Yeah. We kind of know our character, man.
It made sense, like, in the movie. But for me watching the movie, I was like, this is so stupid.
It was an easy fix for them because they're like, we'll make everybody sound the same.
Nobody sounded like they had an Israeli accent. They sounded, because Israeli is not as easy. They knew all languages.
But it fills in for that thing of, like, all the naysayers that are like, she can't be Wonder Woman. And so it's not just her that sounds like that. They literally are just like, everybody's going to have that kind of accent to them, and we're just going to shut everybody the fuck up.
Well, yeah. I think that was in response to the incredibly shitty Israeli accent that Gal Gadot tried to lose in Batman vs. Superman. Because if you watch that movie, she tries to hide it, and she sounds ridiculous.
But I wonder if that was a lot of direction, though.
And then you've got Patty Jenkins coming in and being like, everybody's going to have an Israeli accent. And nobody sounded like they had an Israeli accent.
Well, but they're trying.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that effort. Yeah, I appreciate them sitting there saying,
yeah,
we're going to do this, and this is just going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
I loved all the Themyscira stuff. I love the fact that you don't even really see her as Wonder Woman until like an hour into the film.
Yeah.
And it literally, like, the No Man's Land sequence is amazing.
Well, I think for Wonder Woman's kind of like Doctor Strange, and we may disagree about this. I feel like you need to watch Doctor Strange become Doctor Strange in order to really feel him. Mm-hmm. And that's the same way I felt about Wonder Woman. While I really didn't want to see the origin story, I don't know how else you could have done it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And
people are not as familiar.
And they've already introduced the character. Mm-hmm. You kind of have a sense of what she can do.
Yeah.
This is how she got there. So,
but her power set didn't make any sense, though.
Well, she's a god.
Well, see, Brendan and I were discussing this earlier. The thing is, like, she was evolving as, like, her strength was growing because she had so much more strength than she even really realized she had. So she had to evolve.
Until she goes full god at the end.
I feel like the issue that a lot of people have with Superman, I had with Wonder Woman. Because I feel like Superman's power set, so therefore the rules are kind of there.
But Wonder Woman in the comic books changes so much.
It's true.
I mean, there are some versions where she flies, some versions where she can't.
Yeah.
She can't fly in this version, supposedly. Because Patty Jenkins has said that you're going to see
these. She was flying.
Levitating.
I feel that
she was zooming.
That's an issue with the film because it didn't go, okay, here's A and here's B, and this is what you have to believe.
Well, I mean, like, when she was climbing up the tower to get the stuff.
That was a discovery of power, though. That's Spider-Man going...
But again, that's her evolving. Go, Web, go. And realizing that these are the powers that she has that she didn't know she had.
Yeah. I think it's bullshit.
I think you're bullshit.
Well, I think you're looking at it too...
No, 100%. Too seriously. Yeah, 100%. Seriously.
I mean, I thought that the No Man's Land, the only problem that I had outside of the third act was the fact that I can't help but watch trailers. When there's a movie I want to see, I've gotten to a point where I'll watch the trailers, but I won't watch clips online. I won't watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
I won't watch every single TV commercial. I won't watch all that shit.
Gives too much of the movie away.
But I feel like they gave too much of her introduction of Wonder Woman away.
Meaning?
Most of the fight in No Man's Land and the town afterwards is in the trailers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the shots of her in slow motion, sliding on the shield and using her weaponry in ways that we had never seen before from a Wonder Woman property. But I'd seen it by the time I got to the theater, and there's nothing left of that. I think the only thing that they didn't show is her jumping into the bell tower.
The bell tower. Yeah.
But like everything else.
But if you get a cut from a bullet, sorry, I'm going to go back to the power set. If you get like cut from a bullet, now granted, you healed quickly, but how the hell are you going to jump through a church and crush the top of the church and come out unscathed.
Well, she had gotten stronger and she had the shield.
I call bullshit.
Okay.
That's the only issue that I had. It's like she would do one thing and get hurt and then do another thing that would practically...
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the evolution of a character. It's...
Yeah, it just...
She's got to go on that journey in order to...
But see, like, in Doctor Strange, to kind of use that, because that's the most recent origin movie. That's the only reason I'm using that. Like, right. He would screw up spells and get hurt, or he would flip himself over and do all this kind of stuff. You know, he would get to know his cape and all this kind of stuff. But, like, there was a thing there where he's like, okay, well, this is going to work, this isn't going to work. So that was kind of a set of learning skills. And I felt like a lot of Wonder Woman was just Rey with a freaking lightsaber. You know, picked up, I'm a Jedi. Done.
Well, I mean,
you know, she automatically now has lightning powers, which she does.
Well,
not.
Her aunt and her mother kept telling her, like, you're so much more powerful than you even know.
I get it, but why do that in 2 hours? Why not discover that over 3 movies? Like you did with Captain America.
Because they probably have to have her powered up for the Justice League movie. Like,
that's the problem with connected universe movies.
Yeah.
And yes, I absolutely agree. But I think it's something that they've kind of put out there as like, this is where we're going. So Geoff Johns has to be like, okay, this is where she needs to be at the end
of
the movie.
There.
Get her there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happened a few times in the Marvel universe. I feel like Iron Man 2 is a prime example of when you put too much.
Right.
But I mean, you know, kind of connecting, but being its own film, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But I feel like Wonder Woman was where every movie should have started. Like, the quality of DC Universe should have started with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and it feels very much like there was all those reports of Suicide Squad having like 6 different versions before it came out, and them combining those 6 in order to get what you see, and none of it worked.
It's a shit show.
Yeah.
And the part that I didn't know, and we were discussing actually kind of during the movie, whispering about, was I was like, really? Chris Pine's name is Steve. I was like, really?
Steve Rogers.
Well, see, I kept wanting to call him like, Steve Rogers, but like, I mean, that's straight out of the comic book.
But apparently that's him in the character book, and I didn't know that. But it was very, very similar.
Like, things like that don't bother me.
Yeah.
Things really,
it's like, it wasn't exactly the Martha moment, but...
I think the only issue that you have is making a movie that's so much like
Captain America.
And the wartime parts, you know. I don't know how you could have gotten around that, but then you do it more time and then make one year.
I mean, I do appreciate that it's not World War II.
Yeah, but they still have the Howling Commandos.
Yeah, but I'm so tired of, like, we're fighting Nazis. Like, yes, it's Germany, and it's still kind of that way, but it's like...
But then Patty Jenkins comes back and says we're going to do Wonder Woman 2 during World War II time.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
I mean,
she
they
said?
Were Nazis at the Supposedly. Beginning. Yeah.
Oh. I thought they said it was going to take place in modern times.
I've heard conflicting reports.
Okay. Mm.
I think they basically want to put her in war, which confuses the hell out of me.
I mean, I will say, though, this compared to Captain America, her version of the Howling Commandos got way more screen time and character development than anything in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, name me 2 of the Howling Commandos besides Dum Dum Dugan.
Oh, you got me now. I don't know him very well. Wolverine.
That's the only person that people know is Dum Dum Dugan. Yeah. You know that there's others, but you don't know who they are.
Well, I have no idea who the hell these characters are either.
No, but in repeated viewings,
you will
know who these guys are. You know who Chief is. You know who Samir is.
But I also think that also comes from knowing who your movie's about. As well, because this movie is definitely about Captain America and Wonder Woman. I don't feel like I honestly give 2 shits about Wonder Woman after this movie any more than I already did, if that makes
sense.
But
I mean, you have to appreciate at least that this was the first time DC was able to do some decent character development.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because the Man of Steel, as much as I like watching that movie, there's practically no character development in that movie.
No, he's pretty much the same.
His character
beginning to the end
takes place in the last 3 minutes of that movie. This is 100% eons better.
Yeah, you actually wanted to know like where it's going.
But I feel like this has been done by this quality of film has been done by Marvel literally 10 times over.
That's the problem with Marvel having such strong it's movies, not, and then DC having such strong TV. It's just
It's not that like the movie wasn't good. It's just I've already seen it.
Yeah.
But see, my counter to that is, I would rather have this level of a Wonder Woman movie than not have a Wonder Woman movie.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But I feel about that for all of them too. I mean, I would rather have a shitty Suicide Squad movie.
They just needed to split it into two.
Well, I completely disagree with that. Suicide Squad movie. I think of all the abortions of film, that's the main one that I would rather not have.
It needed to be two separate movies. Like, they could give Joker and Harley their scream time, and then...
I still have Suicide Squad and Arrow. Not a good one.
Yeah, but not really anymore.
No, but I mean, I could see a Legends of Tomorrow show being like Suicide Squad, but you won't ever see that because of the fact that...
No, but I mean, I think Suicide Squad was way too ambitious for what they were trying to do as far as like roping in all the characters. If it had been a small military heist film where for plausible deniability, they were going to use Task Force X to carry it out. And not been a big swirling thing over Midway City, it would have been a way better film. Like, they reached too far. There was too much, like in that universe, if Midway City was under attack for as many days as it was, the Flash would have shown up. Fucking Batman would have shown up. Superman would have shown up.
Everybody
would have been there
to figure out what the hell was going on.
You needed a small thing in the Congo.
Yes. Or something way smaller.
You needed 24 Redemption. That's what you needed. Where an African warlord is trying to kill all these people.
Yeah, something of along those lines. And I think they just stretched too far.
But that's what DC doesn't understand. Now that Wonder Woman has been successful and Suicide Squad's tone was successful, Zack Snyder was like, I'm going to make this universe and it's going to be dark and you're going to have Superman and he's going to be a darker, more grittier character. Let me tell you, there's no two words that I want to hear less in a sentence than Superman and gritty. Because Superman is a varied character. I think he's much more complex than people give him credit for. He's not, however, gritty. When you finally got to Suicide Squad and people appreciated the tone of that film, the directive from DC to Zack Snyder was, make Justice League funnier.
Right.
And now that people are married to this Wonder Woman film, people are like, okay, they're going to make six more of those Wonder Woman films. And there's nothing that I want to see less than six more Wonder Woman films. Not the quality. I'm talking about that storyline. Because that's not what makes, to maybe draw it on more in a comparison, or very more in a comparison, depending on how you think. I think Iron Man is successful because it is Iron Man. And I think Captain America Winter Soldier is successful is because it is the movie that it was going to be.
Right.
And Guardians of the Galaxy is the movie that it's going to be.
Right.
And same thing with Ant-Man and everything.
You just got to let it be whatever it's going to be.
Yeah. And so if the story is interesting as Wonder Woman being a war film, that's great. But I don't need to see the same style as Batman versus Superman because it's a different character. And
right.
I feel like Wonder Woman belonged in that universe. And it's consistent. But do I want to see those stupid sepia tone films time and time and time again? I felt like it warranted being in sepia tone because it was during World War I. But when it came to modern age, it was still in sepia tone.
Yeah. I think that's just a creative problem.
I think they have a lot of creative problems.
But no, I agree. I think Suicide Squad was a direct knee-jerk reaction to Deadpool.
Yeah.
Here's a guy, like, there's a bunch of humor, so we're going to go back and shoot some more jokes and gags, and we'll put that in our movie too. And DC just needs to make a DC movie and just let it go.
Well, right. I mean, if there's one person that you should not, or one studio that you should not be following as far as superhero films is, it's Fox. They can at times make a semi-successful X-Men film, but every one of X2 and Days of Future Past and Age of Apocalypse, not Age of Apocalypse, what the hell's the other one? The second one of the new ones. Anyway, you have X-Men 3, you have Fantastic Four.
Right.
And it's a shit show.
But, I mean, I think people are learning, like Sony, that you can partner with Marvel and be successful.
But have they? Because they're making a solo Venom film without Spider-Man. And you're making a Silver Sable film and a Black Cat film. so that you can make, because people go, oh, okay, people like Harley Quinn, so therefore if we can make Gotham City Sirens before Gotham City Sirens, then we'll be in better shape.
Well, I mean, that's an issue about rights, and you know, they're going to do whatever they want to do because of all the shit being hot right now.
I just hope they don't screw up everything with Spider-Man.
Homecoming?
No. I'm talking about everything after Homecoming 2. Because you've got Spider-Man Homecoming, Avengers Infinity War, Spider-Man Homecoming 2, whatever the hell that's going to be, and Infinity War Part 2, whatever the hell is that going to be. And then you have no more Spider-Man as far as the studios are concerned. That's all they've got rights to right now.
Oh, as far as rights, not like the story.
Once they make the shit ton of money with Marvel, Homecoming? Yeah, they're going to sign up for more.
Fingers crossed they do.
I mean, everything that I've seen is right on. Like, it's everything that anybody's ever wanted to see with Spider-Man.
I thought the same thing about the Vacation remake, and people hated that, and that's by the same people who did the Vacation remake.
But it's Spider-Man.
I like that movie. I like Vacation. I like Spider-Man. I like the original National
Lampoon. Do you like Spider-Man Vacation? On Vacation? Like, when we go to Universal Studios?
I like Spider-Man. I like Vacation. I like Spider-Man on Vacation. I like George Wendt eating beans. Oh.
And that came full circle.
Yeah, to end the Animaniacs.
But anyway, I do think that they might finally be on the right track. I really do. It's horrible what happened to Zack Snyder.
It makes me sick.
So if anybody hasn't heard, Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide in March, and he's no longer running the Justice League production.
Yeah.
They have now moved it over to Joss Whedon.
But he's taking Zack Snyder's notes, luckily.
Yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
But what I think gives a rare opportunity is for somebody who had the biggest superhero film to step into a troubled set of movies with fresh eyes and say, I know Zack wants to do this, but this might look better.
I don't know if he's going to do that, at least with this film. I think moving forward, you'll have that.
I think Geoff Johns, though, is smart enough to ask his opinion.
But when did Geoff Johns come in?
He's been in there for...
Since day one?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had gone to Joss Whedon because they wanted him to rewrite some scenes.
Yeah.
And then when the tragedy happened with Zach, they said, would you step in and finish the movie? And I just think it's... Knowing how directors think, I think you're going to try to honor Zack Snyder, original. But you also want to make the best film possible. And if you have one of the biggest superhero films ever, to go in and be like, this could be tightened, and you could take this out and not lose anything, and you could do this.
How is that going to work, though? Yeah. I'm curious. I don't know how far along was production. I thought they were only doing reshoots at this point.
Well, they are, but there's always room to edit.
Okay.
There's always room to take what you have and
augment it,
tighten it up and rearrange some stuff and tell a better story. And I think Joss Whedon's the guy to do that. And I think that puts them in a pretty good, like, even if they were to follow Zack's stuff to the letter, you're still going to have that Joss Whedon influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think DC's only going to benefit from that.
I think it's ironic. I think they would be better served if they took away, ironically, the Wonder Woman from Patty Jenkins and gave it to Joss Whedon, but they would never do that.
No.
Considering they fired Joss Whedon off that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Warner Brothers has the same issue that pretty much every company does, except for Disney for some reason or another. Disney knows how to, like, let them roam within what they want. Or maybe they just hire the right directors.
Well, I think they put people in place like Kevin Feige, who has the idea in his head and has talked to the people at Disney of, like, just let us do our thing. You can step in when we stop making money, but until then, just let us go.
Yeah.
And Disney was like, whatever, just make us money. We don't care. And, you know,
billions and billions of dollars.
There was no better indication of that than Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. Where you took a bunch of characters that nobody knew and you made a totally successful film out of it.
And they've been doing it time and time again. I mean, between Doctor Strange, I don't think any... I read Doctor Strange. I read Ant-Man. No idea who Guardians of the Galaxy was.
Right.
But I don't think most people knew anybody other than maybe Captain America and Iron Man.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Doctor Strange movie. I like it. I appreciate it. But it's not... He's not my favorite character.
It was a beautiful movie. But
yeah.
I'm interested to see that another one of those movies. But I'm really interested to see him in that universe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
More so.
Right. So... So I remember having conversations at work of being like, I don't know what this Guardians movie is going to be like. like if they're going to have a misstep, this could be it, with a talking raccoon and a tree. And those are the two people, those are the two characters everybody remembers.
Yep.
So like, who the fuck am I to be like, you know, they can't do it. Well, the
I
read the
book. I subbed to the book.
Before the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when we were still at Captain's, I have a sub from that.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the most successful film that they had, that people had no faith in whatsoever, since 2003 or 5 or whenever it came out with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Because I feel like nobody... Because I love them. They're terrible movies. Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
With Eddie Murphy. And the one that nobody saw other than me and 7 other people, which was The Country Bears.
Yeah, that was right before this. That was right before Pirates, and everybody was like, "What?"
So yeah, why are these bears?
Country Bears came out, and everybody's like, "I don't give a shit about this." And then like Haunted Mansion came out, and people were like, "I really don't care about this."
Right.
Because I think, you know, talking bear, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
To do that.
And I will say, I was down in Florida at that time, and I remember having conversations with people that were like, "This is never going to work."
Pirates.
Like, there's Pirates. There's no way that they can take Pirates and make it a successful film. And then the first trailer came out, and the they did the shot of the skeleton foot hitting the ocean floor.
Mm-hmm. First shot,
and everybody was like,
"What?
Wait, okay. What? No, tell me more. That can't be. It can't." Ooh,
yeah, that's right. One. Tell me more.
So like, you, like, there's no way that this can be a good movie. Yeah, it's got Johnny Depp in it, but maybe this is the beginning of the end for him.
Yeah,
like Orlando Bloom. He can't get a job outside of like period pieces. Like, what the hell? Like,
Lord all right, and franchise.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I remember sitting in the theater, and the first shot happens. Well, it's not the first shot, but the shot where Jack Sparrow's coming in the port, and the ship's sinking.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he takes the one step, and he steps off, and you instantly knew what kind of movie it was going
to
be.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was like, this is going to be a good movie.
It
like,
never returned
holy
to that
shit.
Totally.
Well, but who did the music for Country Bears? I know Jerry Bruckheimer did for Pirates, correct?
Jerry Bruckheimer's a producer.
Hans Zimmerman did.
Hans Zimmerman did part two, but he didn't do the first Pirates.
I thought he did.
I don't remember who did it, but I just know that he didn't. He may have had some, like, he does, what's going on?
I have no
They're
idea.
They're super excited about they Pirates.
They're really excited about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
They are.
I just remember watching. I liked Country Bear Jamboree, and I liked Haunted Mansion.
Yeah,
I felt it was off and wrong, and they can do better.
Especially Haunted Mansion, because
I think everybody hates those movies even more now because Pirates came out.
Yeah,
because I was watching it, and I'm like, they're like, these were terrible. So why should we have any faith in this? I'm like, just give it. You gotta give it time. You gotta give these things space and time to kind of breathe and figure out what the hell they want to do with these movies. It's not that they're all bad. It's just these movies are bad. And I was really excited about Pirates. And then I kind of laughed when everybody else got as excited as I was very quickly.
Well, I mean, it's a great ride and it made a great movie. But you might not have had faith from the other two before.
See,
but
I think the difference, though, is between all those movies is that Country Bears Jamboree
tried. Did you see this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Tried to tell the story of the show, kind of. Like it was heavily influenced by what was at Disney.
It kind of was the movie that took place. The movie took place after the actual show, the ride.
So, and you have Haunted Mansion where they tried to shove everything into it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pirates of the Caribbean, they were like, they're pirates in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And
there were the references, like the dog and everything like
right,
that.
Right, but it wasn't heavily influenced.
Throat. Yeah.
And you were dealing with a character that you had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And the Black Pearl, which you had never heard of before.
Right.
And it just made for a good movie. It was a good Pirates movie.
Right.
And then they were like, wow, this is going to be successful. And then they started to shoehorn stuff in. And like, you know, like literally, I think in the third movie, when they go, okay.
Klaus Badelt.
He's done, he did something else too that was really the popular.
Recruit Gladiator.
Gladiator.
Okay. So he was, he worked with Hans Zimmer on Gladiator.
Yes.
I think he.
What was I saying? Oh, in the third movie, when they go over the edge to go to Davy Jones's locker, mm-hmm. there's literally audio from the ride. And I was like, okay. Okay, we don't need this shit. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. It's like, dead men yes. tell no tales.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you don't need to plug. Everybody who knows the ride knows.
And at that point, you're three movies in. You don't have to remind people that it's a ride.
Really? Yeah. Well. Like, it's...
I mean, when the first movie opens and it's the little girl standing on the bridge of the ship singing Pirate's Life for Me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I kind of get that you're telling people that this is a Disney film yeah. and this is where we're getting this from.
Right.
But after that,
until... It becomes its own universe.
Yeah, then. It becomes its own universe. And there's little things along the way, but
right.
nothing that's out of place.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just think Pirates, for all it's worth, is like... Well, the first one is good.
Now, how did you like the newest one?
I felt like it was just more of the same. I felt like...
Did you not feel it was an improvement, though?
No.
Okay. From the third?
From the first.
Well, from...
Other than the first.
From one. The... Definitely from the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the fourth was just a giant turd that, like, just didn't need to be made.
I remember liking it on the original watch. The original time that we watched it, I liked it. And then, like, upon this rewatch, I was like, God, this thing is overly long.
Yeah.
It has bullshit mythology, just like this last mm-hmm. one did.
Right.
It just makes no sense. It didn't need it.
There's a bunch of plot holes, too. Like, I'm a stickler for continuity. Like,
yeah.
I tend to remember shit from movie to movie that I try to, that I keep in mind while I'm watching a film.
Yeah.
And I really feel like whoever wrote this film... just was like, we don't care what happened in the first three movies. We're just going to...
make our own.
No, part five.
Part five, that's how you felt?
Part five. They just throw the shit out there. And, like, the whole thing with the compass. Jack's given that compass away yeah. before. Yeah. Like he literally just handed it to people. And now all of a sudden, because he traded it for a bottle of booze, like, that breaks the spell? Like,
because he was looking for him at this specific moment now.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, it just... because of plot.
Right.
And it's like...
Rather than plot necessitating... character necessitating plot, you have
to... Yeah.
They could have come up with a bunch of other reasons why Salazar's out.
It could have been like a small checklist. Like, he has to give away this, and this has to happen, and yeah. this has to happen. And that's the perfect storm.
Well, you had to have the kids aligning, obviously.
Well, and, you know, the whole thing with, like, oh, this is Will Turner's kid, and I'm like, oh.
Well, that's okay. Kind of the same thing in the second movie, that where the compass, like, he has the compass in the first movie, but then they bring in all this bullshit mythology where he's like, oh, the compass always tells you what you want.
Right.
You really want. I was like, this compass is the Spice Girls of Tool?
It is. It spiced up your life.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think that from movie to movie, it's flawed, and I feel like...
It could easily be fixed, though.
But... It should have just been one movie, in all honesty. Pirates of the Caribbean stands on its own. It's a complete story.
Yeah.
But they're getting the money, so they're going to keep making them.
And that's the thing. That's the problem. Do we need a number five Transformers? No. Do they make a shitload of money?
Yes.
And that's why we keep getting those motherfuckers.
Thank you, China.
But every single movie, you find out something that completely contradicts the movie before it.
Right.
And you're like...
Like, where's your Bible? Where is your Pirates Bible?
The first movie is, it's twisty and turny, but it's simple.
Yeah.
It's really, really simple. This is the bad guy. This is the good guy. This is the kind of good guy. And this is how they all kind of intermingle and twist.
Right.
And I felt like the second and third movies are horribly guilty of going, okay, well, we really need all those elements back.
Right.
Where you could have just been, Barbossa was it. That was the end of that film for that character.
Right.
So by the time you get him to the fourth one, he truly doesn't make any sense.
No.
And he only kind of makes sense in the fifth one.
Well, and I feel like the whole thing with this kid was shoehorned in because they wanted a redemption arc for him.
For
Barbossa.
Okay.
And,
continue the story on.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The daughter to Barbossa.
I would say just to continue the story.
I mean, they're saying that without Johnny Depp, there is no future. And but, Johnny Depp saying he doesn't want to do it anymore.
But yet there was a tag at the end.
But there was. It's just to let Johnny Depp be Jack Sparrow. But you change the focus of the second and third movies to these two uninteresting characters, relatively speaking, rather than letting it be Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow's story. And then the fourth one was even worse about that.
Well,
yeah.
You make the second characters that drove the second and third films, you have to replace them in the fourth film. So therefore, you make him a tertiary character in his own movie, but he's also the plot of the movie.
But I don't think Jack Sparrow was ever meant to be anything more than a side character. They spend way more time in the first film setting up Will and Elizabeth as the main characters. And I think it's the power of Johnny Depp stepping into that role where they were like, we need to kind of make this about him.
Yeah.
But it worked. And they just needed to really not have Elizabeth and...
But that's where the rest of the franchise falls apart because Jack Sparrow is not a redeemable character. Like,
you don't want him to be.
No, but there's no arc. Like, he's the same fucking dude in the beginning that he is in the end.
He has to be.
And that's why I didn't...
That's what makes him him.
Well, yeah, and that's why I don't think this last one really worked for me, is because there's only so many times I can see him run away from, like, a life and death situation and get out of it and be like, okay.
Well, that's what worked about the beginning, is because that was Jack Sparrow. That was the Jack Sparrow from the first film,
mm-hmm.
is him just going, the bank oh, scenes. Whoops. You know, that's the bank sequence at the beginning of that film was brilliant because it was a repeat of him stepping off the dock and off that boat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because that was the scene that happens right before that scene.
Right.
And they just they never think about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a misstep there. I will say that if you do watch this movie, you should watch it how we watched it, because it was just like a giant theme park ride.
40X.
40X.
Yeah, but there's... I'm sure those are few and far between.
No, there's tons of them.
There's a lot of them.
No,
it was $20. And so for 2.5 hours, you can get in chairs that moved and sprayed water on your face, and you smelt the sand, and you saw bubbles and fog.
Then you are the...
Do you like... You like fun...
It is amazing.
I do like fun,
and
but
even if
I also,
it's a movie that you don't love, it makes that movie
even better. It does not make it easy to eat popcorn. No.
Well, that's it. Like I want to be paying attention to what's going on the screen. If the chair's rocking, like, I don't know.
But how many times do you get to experience those kind of things like that?
But you, like, became part of, like, the movie.
I mean, I'd much rather... So there's a theater here in North Charleston, Northwoods. They just changed out all their chairs for recliners.
Yeah.
And it is the best fucking experience I've ever had at going to see a movie. The fact that you can lay down with your feet up.
Yep.
And there's nobody in front of you. Like,
nope. You
everything.
Have space. Oh, there's one of those in Myrtle Beach, and that was the first experience I had with the recliners. It's amazing. I agree.
Not to interrupt, I'm sorry. The 40X experience, guys, if these are all over the place. These are in places. Small, tiny little towns like Seattle, Washington.
Oh, okay.
There are two in New York. Okay. There's one in Orlando. And then one in Los Angeles.
Wait, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, dang. Okay. We just happened to be in Orlando then. Okay. And
so if you're in Orlando in one of those places.
You're in Orlando or Seattle.
But I will say, so one of the shitty things about Northwoods now is when we went to go see Wonder Woman on Saturday, we went to go to the 11 o'clock show and the line was down the building.
Oh.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I was like, you know what? Screw it. We'll let that crowd get in, and we'll come back for the 12.
Yeah.
We came back, and there was still a line, but it was shorter. So I parked the car. I threw the keys to my wife, and I said, I'm going to go get in line. And I'm standing there, and I'm listening to the people
blackened
at the box
her.
Office.
I just see your wife with a blackened eye when you hit her with the keys.
No.
Sorry.
So I'm listening to the people in the box office, and there was a dude in a wheelchair. And they were saying, well, this row is wheelchair accessible. And I was like, okay, they're just telling them where to go. And the next person came up and they said, I heard them say something, but I couldn't make it out. And they were like, well, which row is that? And it suddenly dawned on me. And I turned to the guy and was like, are they assigning seats? And he's like, yeah, they just started this.
With the recliners, you do have assigned seats.
So, I walk up there and I said three for the 12 o'clock Wonder Woman. And she types it in and she spins the thing around, and there's no three seats together.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, motherfucker. I said, okay, what about the one? Like, she literally sighed and typed it all back in. I was like,
your job.
What the
Sorry,
fuck?
We have a family.
Yeah, so she spins it back around.
That was not me hitting the mic. That was Chris.
This time.
So she spins it back around. There's like three other seats sold for the 1 o'clock. So I was like, all right, these are the three that I want. But what I came to realize was everything was shifted to the left because of where the stairs are in that theater. So what I thought was dead center was off to the left. And I was like, motherfucker, like, this sucks because every other seat in that theater was taken. You can't just like shift over and be like, all right, come down here. So now you're stuck in these seats. And it was like, oh,
I think those that will be better long term.
Well, and I will say this
sucks balls.
I will say this. I am the guy that gets there a half an hour early
to get your seat.
To get the seat, I will go get the seats. You go get the popcorn. Mm-hmm. Is my theory on all that.
Your mantra.
Coming back with the 1 o'clock tickets, I was like, "Let's go see what they have at the concession stand," and like not what? Worried about where the what was going on because
you have your
those
seats
are there.
You don't have to worry about it.
I will tell you this cautionary tale, Chris.
Okay.
After the world tour that Chris and I took across the United States, we went to New York.
Okay.
And so there's this guy who comes in like 15 minutes late to Jack Reacher. Now, these movie tickets are $17 a piece.
Right.
During the day.
Just a regular movie.
Right.
And
four stories up.
So we were literally six or eight.
Yeah, it was a long
way up. We're having to go up several stories.
Sets of escalators. Right.
And I'm like, should we take the elevator? No, we'll be fine. Not realizing they only have, in order to have these 10 screens, they have stacked these screens on five floors.
Right.
Five, six, eight floors, whatever it is. So I sit down in our assigned seats, and there are other people in New York who will give you the big middle finger, and they don't give a shit. Because they will sit wherever the hell they want to sit. They paid their money and they're going to see all the movie.
Okay.
And so this guy like sits by me like 15 minutes late to the film. I think he's nodding off the entire time. So he's not only sitting in the wrong seats, he's sleeping through this stupid movie.
They yelled across the movie, hey, come over here.
Yeah, let's go over here. And so like sit next to, I don't know why they're Navajo in my mind. So like,
they were not.
Hey, how are you doing? Come, these seats are good. Oh, ancestors. That is super racist. I apologize to everybody.
Is John occasionally racist? Everyone's a little bit racist.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, good. Okay, good.
You're filling the quota.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, these people sit next to me, and I think he's falling asleep the end of time, and he's like, and I think he's like singing because he's falling asleep and trying to keep himself awake. Dude's being jerked off
under a coat. The entire movie.
Fucking movie.
Wow.
So he had a Jack.
So I had a Jack. He was getting a Jack reach around.
Nice.
And I'm like, son of a bitch. Why are you?
Why are you right here?
Dude, and why are you leaning in my direction? Why are you leaning at the woman who's actually touching your
man? I thought that was butter.
Probably not his wife.
Oh god. I guess not. I don't know what the hell it was.
Wow.
But
interesting. Well, that's New York. I mean, that right? truly
that is not a New York experience I wanted to have.
But it is now one you have and tell stories about.
Yeah. So I mean, the first time that I dealt with assigned seating was when we went to go see Logan in Orlando.
Okay.
Like, we went and we had to, like, buy tickets, which is really weird because, like, they have these outdoor kiosks where we were standing next to each other and, like, buying a ticket and going, which seat are you going to get? Which seat are you going to get?
We
okay,
did that, too.
Quick, do that one. Did you get that? Okay, good. Like, so...
Yeah, it's stressful.
Yeah. It's so, like, going in a group...
It's
going to be
you either have to
insane.
Buy them all at once.
Yeah.
And or you then have pay to that have, person back.
Yeah. It's really bizarre. And...
Yeah.
And, like, here, like, you can do it online for Orlando. They haven't implemented it here yet. So you can't buy tickets online in advance for that theater anymore.
Oh, the theater at all?
No.
Hmm.
It's a Regal, I think.
It's a...
Southeast Cinemas.
Southeast Cinemas.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
Which you used to be able to buy on movieticket.com.
Which is the worst company.
Well...
Southeast Cinemas.
I don't like paying that $3. Seats.
That's true, but I'll take... You know, not praising Satan over comfortable seats.
What?
Why would you praise Satan?
I assume they praise Satan because they charge me tax inside the movie ticket. They don't charge me tax inside the movie ticket anymore. Instead of being 850, you don't have an even number for concessions. They don't do the math for you any longer. They're like, screw you. We're not going to pass the savings on to you. Here's your savings.
They used to be very nice. And now,
well, look, it's
corporate America.
It's the best theater experience I've had in a long time of being able to like fucking. You haven't been in a recliner.
No, yet. I
so care. So the first time we went was for Guardians.
Okay,
and
two?
We sat down. We were like, oh, these are big, like comfy seats. Now and we sat down. We're like, oh, that's cool. And then I look down the row and people are reclining. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, holy shit, wait a minute. Yep. And the dude next to me was like, right down there. I was like, holy shit. And so I was like reclining backwards. And I was like, I got to keep from like falling asleep.
So two things. I would never be able to stay awake for that. Number one.
You would have to have popcorn and soda.
Second of all, the 4DX did have a button to turn off the water.
Yeah. Okay, but I still don't want them to chair to rock while I'm
or
watching
poke
a movie.
You in the
it
back.
Was a mate.
Unless I'm getting
I still fell asleep on
unless
that.
I'm getting dropped
off. What if
he's
getting a Jack Reach around?
Ugh. Well, then that'll
that would be quite a ride.
Yes.
I got off the cruise ship and onto the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, which the seats were moving, so I still dozed off.
Yeah, he did still fall asleep. It was rocking him to sleep.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I did see Moana on the cruise ship, though.
Under the stars?
Fun.
It was free. Yeah. No, John, my brother and I took it in. And the only issue with that is the movie screen is over to the side because there's a stage in the middle for a diving show and then the two screens are off to the side. So I'm watching it like this. But the seats are so comfortable, like as far as like beach seats go.
Did you guys go on a Disney cruise?
No, we did not.
And they played Moana on a...
They played Moana and Trolls in 3D, but we didn't get to see that. Mm. They played a whole lot of stuff.
No big loss.
I like Trolls.
Okay.
You didn't like Trolls?
Except for that one plot twist that's...
Have we had discussion?
It's very fun and colorful.
Yeah. It's all right.
Did you not like the animation?
I think the story was just...
The story's okay.
Horrid.
I like the music.
Okay.
You know, Wonder Woman...
Not a big music guy, right?
Wonder Woman could have used the musical number, too.
Yeah, because that worked so well for The Flash.
So what do I need to talk about to endear myself to your fans?
Why don't you ask the fans?
What do I need to do, guys? Write your congressman.
Oh. Are we getting that cereal?
We should do our own version of cereal on this podcast for like 10 weeks.
Wait, eating it? Like, we should eat like it into the microphone.
Dance Funky Oats? Or what?
No, seriously, we should.
Oh, cereal's another podcast.
We should get our favorite cereal and eat it and see if they can tell.
People don't like listening to people chew.
Oh, yeah?
Nobody likes listening to people chew.
Well, I was
going to
say, see if they can tell what we're eating.
They barely listen to me talk.
No, I mean, I've heard...
Stop.
We've never done it on this podcast, but I've listened to podcasts where people chew during it.
Okay.
And it is the biggest pain in the ass. Like,
really?
Just shut up, don't chew. So
I feel like I'm breathing too heavily, for God's sakes.
Sorry, Darth Vader. I don't know. I haven't listened to you, Brandon.
Does it sound like that?
No.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
That's just a fan. That's not your breathing.
Okay, so jumping back to Wonder Woman. Do you feel like it deserves all the press it's getting?
Like,
or is it just the fact that it's directed by a woman and with a woman front?
It's a strong woman lead.
I was just going to say, it's a movie full of strong females. And as a father of a small female child, it's nice to have a film where she can see that women can be just as strong as a guy.
Yeah. I think I'm glad that it was good in that fact because I feel like a lot of people
go
oh, well, Catwoman didn't succeed. Yeah, well, it's a crappy movie.
Yeah.
Just make a good movie. Yeah. You make a bad Thor movie, it doesn't make a lot of money. You make Iron Man 2, it does not make a lot of money.
Right.
Well, and even though she was a superhero, I mean, they never actually called her Wonder Woman, but, like, she did have a lot of power and a lot of, positive outlooks on everything, and I think that it's a good influence for her.
Look, like I said, as the father of a small girl, you look for things that you can take her to that she can identify with.
Yeah. Did she watch the DC superheroes online or whatever they are?
The DC girls?
Power Girls
or
whatever they are?
She loves her entire... birthday party was built around
nice.
Those.
Oh, gotcha.
So she wants those female role models. And I'm constantly telling her, like, whenever we're out and we see like a female firefighter or like something like that, I'll be like, look, you can look at her. You can do whatever you want because mm-hmm. she just needs to know. Huh?
Just a man's going to do it better. Oh.
I'm just because you're talking about
I'm
hoses,
kidding.
Brandon.
I'm kidding.
So.
Anytime Wonder Woman can do it better than Superman, we're doing all right.
Okay. So seeing something like that where she can look at it and be like, she's the one that saves the day. She's yeah. the one that,
okay.
you know, she's got all the power. Like, that's, I think the where all the praise is really coming from is women and people who want those strong female role models for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, I mean, I've seen nothing but on Facebook of like women going, this is the best thing I've ever seen yeah. because it's not a bunch of muscle bound idiots who are punching each other through buildings.
Well, see, that's what I like about, again, the Marvel movies, because you get the smart guy. He's rich, mind you, but it's Tony Stark is not an idiot.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a scientist.
Right. Oh, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that they built that into the character, that he creates the suit and he's, you know, they show him like soldering the connections onto the boots and that whole like first act, second act of the first movie where he's engineering the thing. I think that's great to show, to get people involved in like robotics and shit like that. And like, I'm trying to get my daughter into like STEM programs and shit like that to where she understands that she can do whatever the hell
yeah.
she wants.
Yeah.
You know, she last, when Kristen and when Brooke were here, she brought over all her rocks and like, she loves rocks and she wants to be a geologist mm-hmm. and like, don't falter from that. Like, don't all of a sudden be like, I would just like to be a princess.
It's actually going
to
make some money.
Oh.
It's a
gemologist. Gemologists make a lot of money.
Do.
Well,
like geologists are
so rocks.
Like, well, I want her to do whatever's going to make her happy.
But, if she's happy
but
with
I also
rocks.
Want her to understand that she can do whatever the hell she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except maybe, I guess, be president because nobody wants a fucking female president.
I don't think that was the issue.
No. I know. I'm just fucking.
I know.
But I like that they didn't make the whole thing like about a love story either. There was a love story in there. It was very sweet and very innocent.
Right.
And I'm glad
but
they killed
it
killed him off at the end.
Focused
too.
And he didn't
on
come
that.
Back.
And he didn't come back.
I'm glad
and she
it wasn't
pining
one of those things
him.
Where like she's looking at the picture and he walks up behind her and is like, I bailed out at the last minute.
Well,
like,
no, you'd have to
yeah.
explain that
well,
for
it's more
60
of like
years.
Yeah.
A love of like humanity is what she had. I mean, she wanted to protect humans. And then
right.
when she found the flaw in that, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know. I'm still.
That's what I mean. I felt like Wonder Woman did a great job of doing it differently than Captain America. Captain America, you can freeze him, but
right.
he has to be frozen.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and Peggy Carter just dies slowly,
right.
Which is terrible, but it makes sense for that storyline. And then to if you had kept had him live in this thing, that would have been miserable.
Yeah.
To kind
yeah.
of ride around.
I mean, if they're going to do part two and they're going to do it in World War II, letting him live would have. Kind of made sense because I could have brought him back.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't do the
it was
trope
unnecessary.
Of hey, I survived.
Yeah.
By the skin
I really
of my
don't
teeth.
Want to see a World War II movie with Wonder Woman.
Well, I don't either.
But I want to see more Wonder Woman movies.
Yeah.
I 100% do. Yep. And I want to see more Man of Steel movies. I want to see more Superman movies, not Man of Steel necessarily. Because no. I felt like that pathos was nice with Superman. But ill-advised is how it was plotted. Just saying.
Okay. All right.
Kesha should be Wonder Woman.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Maybe she will do a Wonder Woman song on her new CD. Maybe she'll dress like Wonder Woman. She had lots of costumes to choose from.
She was in Jim and the Holograms.
What does Kesha look like?
Kesha? Oh, mm. She looks nothing
oh,
like Wonder
she's,
Woman.
She's not super attractive.
I think she's attractive.
I said she's not super attractive. She's no Gal Gadot.
Well, no. Nobody's Gal Gadot.
She's not unattractive.
Yeah.
But she's also not like...
crackers. I like her with purple hair. I think that's my favorite Kesha. Also my favorite Wonder Woman.
I don't like Katy Perry's new haircut.
No, I don't either.
You know who Katy Perry is?
Well, because she kissed a girl and she liked it.
Yeah, no, of true. Course he knows who Katy Perry
you
is.
You follow her on Twitter.
No.
It might have been Kesha that she kissed, though.
No, I doubt it. All right, well, I know you guys have things that you have to go do.
We're here for you.
Can we come back?
Well, I appreciate... Yes, you can come back.
How many more weeks without John?
Three, I think.
John, I
three
miss
or four?
You. Can we meet John online one
we
day?
Have to Skype him at some point.
Well, what I plan is, like... the first time he comes back, I want it to be everybody.
Yeah, let's do that.
So that he can't get a word in edgewise.
No, he will too. No, we're going to let him tell us all about his journeys.
And he won't talk about it. He can't talk about
it. I know. I'm just saying.
So, you guys have anything to plug before we go?
Maybe soon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Soon. No. We've got to talk to Chris about it first.
You can't plug yourself?
Oh, I am... what am I? B-Joiner 1980 at Hollywood?
Oh,
Hollow?
Jesus.
What am I?
Oh,
this
Lord.
Is why people don't write in about him.
No, I...
You don't even know who you are. Why do you expect everybody else to know who you are?
There's Percy, more Percy coming in July.
Okay.
I've got
Percy's
about,
funny.
I've got about 60 or so episodes, I think.
You need to be plugging Percy.
60?
That you haven't released yet?
Probably high.
Yeah, no, they're in the can, but they're not. Yeah,
what? And why are you not releasing them?
I just haven't edited them yet.
Oh, okay.
And I was hoping to have you help me do a new title card before.
Oh, that, shit. Yeah, you got to send me the...
You have the specs on that. Yeah. I haven't done that. So, okay. So as soon as I talk to you about a new title card for Percy,
okay.
He's at Percy Patchett.
With Mr. Higgins.
Well, it's not at Percy Patchett.
No,
Mr.
I
Higgins.
Know that, but...
But yeah, Higgins.
He's got a cat.
Is anybody watching that anymore, you think?
What?
Percy I don't know. Patchett. Do you watch it from time to time?
You're the one... With the analytics, you should be looking all
does
that shit
you
up.
Yes or no?
Guys, watch it and write in to Dan's Monkey Dance podcast. We will. I'll tell you what. Next week, if you are talking to us at that point, we'll have a list of everything we want to plug.
Okay.
I'll plug my Twitter, but I should probably be on Twitter more. I have an Instagram as well. I'm on that.
Plugged an Instagram to my Facebook. My Facebook delivers back to my Twitter.
But my Twitter. Only delivers to Facebook. It doesn't go backwards because that's like a lot of talking.
Yeah, you can do it though.
I mean, I'm on Facebook.
It's not
anyways.
Like, it's not like if you deliver something to Instagram.
Are you going to friend everybody who wants to be your friend?
I
on
will
Facebook?
Friend everybody, okay. Of course.
What's your Instagram?
At SUD1183, same as my Twitter.
Well, I have no idea what mine is.
Oh.
At Percy Patchett on both of those.
B-Joiner 1980.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think
that's
yours.
Right.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Okay.
Not mine.
That's got no cat.
No, it has no cat because that's
well,
Mr.
Higgins.
Higgins.
A cat.
Oh, okay.
What do you want to plug, Chris? How can they get a hold of us?
You can always get a hold of me at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Actually, that might be changing because I think somebody hacked the email.
Really? Yikes.
I keep getting emails saying that the...
buy a sofa or do you want porn?
Well, no. that like it keeps trying to send out... emails to people and they keep getting
can't you just
back.
Change the password
I did and it keeps going on.
You have a super virus or a super hacker.
I don't know why they would choose this, but
maybe they want a dance monkey.
It may change in the future, but for right now send
because
email at info
the best.
Dance info at dancemonkeypodcast.com. Twitter's dancemonkeypod. I think. Whatever.
Look what you've done, Brandon.
I messed it up.
Yeah,
I'm so
whatever.
Sorry, I broke Chris.
I don't know anymore. Whatever. Fuck
you
it.
Know.
Till next week. This is Chris,
Brandon,
and Kristen.
Have a good week.